Well, thanks so much for the invitation. Cheers, Ben, for inviting me to speak on a subject I'm pretty much a complete rookie on. I've got a four-year-old and a two-year-old. I don't know much about family. But we have God's Word before us. And the big thing that I think these verses, verses 1 to 4, I'd love you to keep that open. The big thing these verses have to say to us is to call us to take our lead for family life from God. Now, families are tricky, aren't they? It's tricky for parents because children don't come with instructions. And most of the time we feel like we're winging it. It's tricky as children because your parents aren't perfect. You say, what an insightful speaker we got in today. But, you know, one is the one is you're not perfect either. And the long-termness and the closeness of family means we get some of the greatest joys, but also some of the biggest tensions. And that's always been the case. So here's this letter that arrives in a church in Turkey in 62 AD. And the implication of verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1, what's the implication? Children weren't obeying their parents, right? And the implication of verse 4 is that fathers were provoking their children and there was anger in the household. Family life has always been hard. Where are we going to turn? Well, some say, you know, trust your instincts. And there is some wisdom there for some of us, right? But my instincts are usually selfish. And my experience very limited. So that's why we usually then turn on to our culture. You know, parenting courses, books, popular psychology. And again, there's some wisdom to be found there by common grace, but there's no real clarity because everyone says something different. And though the West may be world leaders in some things, do you really think that actually as a culture we've nailed parenting? I suggest that actually those from more traditional backgrounds would see there's a huge number of black spots, and we'll think about some of those as we go. The Apostle Paul calls us to take our lead for family life from God, not from our instincts, not from culture. So let's try and do that now with Ephesians 6 in front of us. I should say there's a sermon bingo sheet for the kids, and that's just a chance to just strike off some of the words as you hear them. But don't jump up and shout bingo if you manage to get them all, okay? But you might be, I don't know, maybe Ben will give you something at the end if you manage this. I hope it just helps us concentrate. Two key instructions for us then. And I don't know if we've got a PowerPoint. We may have a PowerPoint. The first one, for children. Okay, you're listening out. Children, dignified obedience. Dignified obedience. So verse 1 there, have a look down. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honour your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise. If you honour your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Now, this is dignified, not demeaning, because for one thing, notice God is addressing children. So here's a letter that was supposed to be read out to the whole church, and the implication is that children were there. Church is for them. God is for them. He's interested in you. And so, kids, God would want you to respond to him, not just by saying, well, I'll just copy my parents. That's how most cultures of the world work, actually. But he wants you to respond to him personally and individually yourself. And so he talks to you. Now, that's hugely countercultural. In the Roman Empire, children were regarded pretty much as property rather than people. Remember how children were brought to Jesus and the disciples drove them away. They said, he's got no time for you. Jesus gave them his time and love. And the church in Ephesus is to take their lead from him, not their culture. Another thing that shows us the dignity is that verse 1, can you see it there, says that children are to obey as those who belong to the Lord. So kids, when you obey, you're to think of Jesus, who though he was the Lord of the whole universe, obeyed his mum and dad, Mary and Joseph, even though they often didn't understand him. Maybe you feel no one ever understands you. Well, Jesus knows what it's like. And he obeyed his heavenly father, even though it would take him to his death. And so our society thinks that obedience is basically lame. And God says it's very special and it's dignified. This isn't demeaning, this instruction. But it is. Let's be very, very clear. Can you see it there? It is dignified obedience. Children, obey your parents. You can't get around that, can you? When I was growing up, there was a program we liked called Malcolm in the Middle. And the theme tune was, you're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. And you're not so big. But the thing is, our parents are the boss of us because God has made it so. And God wants us to obey them for at least four reasons. The first is that it's right. You know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. And we live in such a muddled world where because we've bowed God out of life, we've lost any objective sense of right and wrong. And therefore, in anything, especially in parenting, people basically say, well, you know, if that's right for you, do what's right for you. And, of course, there are plenty of areas where there's a wisdom call. But when it comes to expecting children to obey, Paul says, that is right. There's a black and whiteness to it. And, of course, almost any other culture around the world and through history knows that when a young child, and we overheard this just recently from neighbours, is telling their mum to F off, okay? Or when there's consistent ignoring of instructions, it's perverse. It's perverse. It's dangerous. It's wrong. Children obey, for this is right. Second, because it matters to God. It matters to God. So God gave his Old Testament people 10 basic rules, didn't he? And number 5 is there in verse 2. Honour your father and your mother. So only 10 laws, and one of them is this. Must really, really matter to God, mustn't it? Perhaps we're learning, we've come from, I don't know, an Easter summer camp or something, and we're learning to read our Bibles and say our prayers, and we feel like we're really growing in some areas. And I'll say, well, brilliant. Paul would say, brilliant. But what about this? It's one of God's top priorities for us. I have to say, I am so bad at honouring my parents, appreciating them, being proud of them, wanting others to think well of them. And so actually, as I prepped this sermon, I printed a copy, and I popped it in an envelope with an apology. And I sent it off to them. Obedience matters to God. But thirdly, it leads to blessing. It leads to blessing. The commandment had a promise. Verse 3, things will go well with you and you'll have a long life on the earth. Well, we all know that actually that's true in general terms. Okay, there are exceptions. But those who aren't outright rebels, life does tend to go well with us as we follow the Maker's instructions. But fourthly, this is key, this is a response to God's grace. So that the expression in verse 1, belonging to the Lord, obey your parents as those who belong to the Lord, is absolutely key. So this isn't saying, you know, obey and therefore God will, I don't know, he'll love you, he'll set you, his kindness on you as a response. No, Christianity is the opposite of that, isn't it? It says that God adopts people into his family by his sheer love. And by his sheer kindness. And Jesus actually goes to, the true Son goes to die on the cross, that he's, in a sense, cut out for a moment from the love of God, that we might be welcomed in as a free gift. And then the Holy Spirit's given us to secure us forever. All this is given absolutely for free, so that a Christian's obedience is a response to the love of God and the grace of God. So that there I am thinking I'm going to miss out if I go God's way. And I think he's so restrictive. And then I remember that actually God has given me everything already. I can belong to his family. It's an extraordinary thing. Well, there I am, and friends are saying, look, you know, if you listen to Jesus and his instructions, it won't go well. But then Jesus died on the cross for me, and they never did. And his ways are so much wiser. Or I feel let down by my parents because they've made mistakes and treated me wrongly. And then I remember how God loved me even though he treated him appallingly. So do you see, obedience is a response to God's grace. Think on those four reasons. It matters to God, it's right. It leads to blessing. And it's a response to God's grace. Then think, kids, come with me for a moment. See what reasons aren't given there. What reasons aren't given there? Obey your parents because they're always right? Is that there? No, actually, you know, often parents get it wrong, don't they? Children, obey your parents because you'll get lots of Christmas presents. I can't see that one there. No, rather, the Christian way is to do good because you've already been given so much, haven't you? Parents, I wonder how much of our parenting is actually merit-based rather than grace-based. So here's a call to dignified obedience. A dignity which clashes with ancient Ephesian culture and obedience which clashes with our modern Western culture. And of course, if the Bible is really God's eternal, timeless word, not merely a human invention, you'd expect it never to echo one particular culture but to challenge all cultures, and that's what we find here. Okay, on to instructions for parents. So kids, you can sort of point the finger across, okay, at your parents and say, listen up. Now, parents, I'm going to sum this up as gracious shepherding. Gracious shepherding. So verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. It's pitched to dads, probably because we usually shirk our responsibilities. But I take it this is something that applies more widely. All sorts of defence, I speak as a parent, all sorts of defence mechanisms come up when somebody presumes to speak to you about the privacy of family life and your parenting. We feel judged. Well, can I just say it? Will we let God get involved and pry? Will we allow him, in a sense, to interfere? Will we be open to rethink? Maybe to repent. The first call to parents is to be gracious. I think it'd be a really interesting exercise. I'm not going to do it, but if we were to put our hands up and share when it is that our parents sort of provoke us, and the word there is the same as exasperate us. So if you wonder what that word means, it's when you go, oh, Dad, can't believe it. Oh, Mum. And sometimes, actually, we're exasperated for the wrong reasons. But sometimes it is because we're provoked by our parents. Adults, we provoke our children when we do not listen to them, or when we try to live through them, or when we try to form them in our image, or when we're overly negative and it seems that they can never please us. And perhaps I think this is a particular danger for Christians who feel the mark of godly parenting is always seriousness and discipline. Some friends of my wife and I always stress the importance of delighting in your children as well as disciplining, just as God the Father delights in us, doesn't he? We exasperate our children when we're inconsistent or when we demand change from them where we ourselves are not changing. The list could go on. So here's an idea. How about over family lunch? Just have a conversation about that. Ask your children, when do I exasperate you? That could be a long conversation, some of you are saying. Now, look, the opposite to this is gracious parenting that stands alongside, that apologises, that admits that we too struggle with selfishness and dishonesty, that shows that we too need God's forgiveness, that is patient, not demanding instant change. How we need God's work in our lives, how I need that, if I'm going to parent in that sort of way. Paul says to be gracious, but he does say, I want to suggest, we need to shepherd, is the word I've picked there. You see, if one danger is to be harsh, like the Victorian father figure, another danger, like the typical 21st century father, is to be uninvolved, distant, just leave them to it. Paul says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And we may feel that we've got a very important job in life. You know, I manage 50 people. The company I founded is working in 50 countries. I run a church of 150 people. There is no more important job than to bring up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Is that our great desire for them? That shapes our priorities, the hobbies they take on, the prayers we pray, our family time together, that our dear children might know and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So easy to just drift, isn't it, into running family life the way everyone else does. Now, to bring them up speaks, it's a little term that speaks of time and thought and trouble taken. It happened to where I live. The trend is basically to outsource everything. So if you want your children to learn how to throw, almost, you know, let's send them off to an expert to learn how to throw. Or the swimming clubs, cycling, you look to the professional. And we can't, can you see that here? Here's the question, where's the youth worker? In verses 1 to 4 there. Where's the youth worker? He's not there. So I'm not saying we need to fire Ben. But I am saying that we cannot farm out bringing up children in the Lord. Negatively, there's discipline. You see that word there? And of course that can be done badly, in anger, selfishly. Of course it can. And we will have seen that. And probably some of us will have done it. But we must not believe the lie of our culture that it is always wrong For the young child to be left with no restraint, no discipline, no help to go God's way is the height of cruelty. Discipline, always accompanied though by instruction. And we'll be looking at that this afternoon. But Deuteronomy 6 says of God's word, impress it on your children. Talk about it when you sit at home, and when you walk down the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Question, is that indoctrination? Well, no. It is instruction, but it's not indoctrination. Because God expects children, doesn't he, to respond to them in a considered way themselves. But it must be considered, mustn't it? They've got to know something. So, not indoctrination, yes, instruction. And here's the issue. We cannot help instructing, either by our activity or by our inactivity. So, if we bring up a child and we never thank God for the food or the world we live in, and we never ask for his help in anything, then whether we believe in God ourselves, we are raising them as functional atheists. If we're half-hearted, we are training our children that God isn't really worth bothering with much. If we never bring out the Bible to see what it has to say, we're instructing them that God actually has really nothing to say to their daily lives. Do you see what I mean? We're always instructing our children, whether we like it or not, positively or negatively. That's a terrifying thing, isn't it? How do we instruct them in the Lord Jesus? I don't really know. I think I'm just learning. I'd love you to come out this afternoon and to help me. I guess a great starting point is not to be defensive about it. You know, maybe you could invite Ben and Grace around and just say, hey, how do you do it? And you could blow holes in what they do. But, you know, let's open up our family lives to one another. There's a great book called Give Them Grace, if you want to think further. It's a bit American, but maybe you could start a reading group and you could just open a chapter and think together. If this is all utterly new to you, well, can we just think, is there one setting, just one in the whole week? And maybe it's tonight before bed, or maybe it's over the dinner table, in which we can show our children, we can share with the family, maybe just one thing. Maybe it was a song word that struck you, maybe it's one verse. Maybe if you really don't know your way around the Bible, just open it somewhere. Share something and pray. Kids, if your parents have never done that, would you cut them some slack? It's going to be really awkward the first few times. Who is equal to such a task? Gracious shepherding. Well, only one man has perfectly exercised authority with never a harsh, provoking way. Only one man has led and taught, but also served. Our training and instruction is in the Lord Jesus, not taking our lead from our culture or our instincts, but from him. Let me pray. Our Father, I pray that that might be true for all of us. In all areas of life. In Jesus' name. Amen.